Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor Bill Smoots delivers the message entitled, Can I Get a Witness? We'll also have music from the Sanctuary Choir. So join us now from Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Thank you. I've come to understand that the Sunday after Easter, Can I Get a Witness, has become a beloved tabernacle tradition. And so as we enter into that time on this day, I offer these scripture lessons that I hope speak to the ideas behind the question posed to our witnesses on this day. Our first lesson is from the 24th chapter of Luke, part of the story of the road to Emmaus. Hear now God's word for God's people. Now on that same day, two of Jesus' followers, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other as you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive." Our second lesson this morning is from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 13th chapter, something we're probably more used to hearing at weddings, but the love this chapter discusses describes all kinds of love. The love that we are to have for one another, the love that we are to have for all others. "If I speak in the tongues of humans and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see only a reflection, as in a mirror, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love remain, these three, and the greatest of these is love." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. In this season of Easter, where the light of God's resurrection love burns brightly, and where our nearness to this holy gift of new life continues to change everything for us in the most amazing ways, in this season, we gather to worship today, to see and hear how resurrection love is embodied and lived out within and beyond the walls of this church we love. We hear this through some of our fellow disciples. Four pilgrims of our community have been asked to reflect aloud on the question, how do I live differently because Jesus is alive? As we listen to the faithful and powerful witness each of these partners within our community provides, I invite all the rest of us to consider how we would answer this same question and how we will be the type of witness for Jesus that we desire us to be. Robert Darku gets us started.
Somewhere in the Psalms, I read about how we cannot hide from the presence of God. I grew up in Ghana, totally different society from Indiana. When you stand out a little too much in your environment, it's harder to be yourself because you are trying too hard to blend in. And sometimes you run that risk of losing yourself. It's gotten harder and harder now with social media, where everyone is expressing openly what normal should be. And sometimes we fall under pressure to accept all of that and forget that it is more important to look for the light within, that our essence, who we are, should be derived from God, not necessarily from what the world says we are. And it's just comforting to know that you don't have to try to be someone else. You are accepted the way you are, loved the way you are. I've definitely have fallen into that trap before, and I am extremely grateful that I was able to find God in that moment, to understand that I am made fearfully and wonderfully the way I am, that I can be the way I am, still be accepted that way, to be seen that way. I'm fortunate to have kids that test me every day. And just like the kids, they don't have to be anyone else. They are loved no matter what they did. And where they went, they are still our children. And that's what it means to be God's child, for Him to be alive in your life and to be present every single step of the way. It makes the challenges that come a lot less painful to deal with, because you know that you're not doing it alone, and you know that there is a hand that is holding you, guiding you, and helping you, a comforter in your life. That's what it means to me.
What wisdom Robert imparts. Who are we? Who we are should be derived from God rather than the world. And it is comforting to know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by our God, and that the God who loves us because we are God's children loves us for who we are and how we are, just like we love our own children or the children of our church community for who they are and how they are as well. Robert's in the basement, part of the broadcast team today. I told him, oh, you need to be upstairs so people can say hi. And so if he doesn't appear, I'm just outing him as to where he is. Thank you, Robert. Next, we hear from Pat and Scott Carlson.
Well, Scott and I would like to share with you how Jesus has impacted us and really how we've become closer to Jesus. And one of them is the devotional text that we use to describe how we do our devotions. And the second way is to share an idea that's called the marriage tent and how we've brought Jesus into our marriage.
One of the things I like about the idea of the marriage tent is leaving, cleaving, and one flesh, like a tent or a triangle. And in the center is the cross, where Christ remains the central part of our marriage, the central part of our lives. And because he's alive and because of the resurrection, we always have the encouragement of Christ. To me, the goal of marriage is to be one in Christ and then to grow in Christ's likeness, and then from there to serve in whatever God wants us to do. I should say too that if you're not married, the presence of Jesus also functions as a tent over you, and you have all those same kinds of benefits that I was talking about in the marriage tent.
The book that we use is called The Daily Text. It provides me with hope, and that hope is despite the circumstances that I'm in. And I have found that to be the overreaching value of reading God's Word every day. Hope means that, I mean, I'm thinking about the contrast between difficult family situations, situations that we don't see we don't see the positive outcome, we worry about it, we wonder what will happen in the future. So I have the individual concerns, and then because of our smartphones, I also am reading the news every day. Both those worries need to be balanced with hope. And so if you're not reading God's Word, what is the hope for our life? I mean, it is Jesus taking care of us and guiding us and giving us direction for how much he loves us and, you know, how much he will help us in our actions, the choices we make for how we're going to live, how we speak, how we act, everything. But he does have to change your mind to, you know, whatever our personalities are. For me, I'm a worrier. So for me, that's a gift. I would say the hope is to counteract worry.
How many of us are worriers like Pat? Yeah, I think a lot of hands go up that way. I appreciate how Pat and Scott show us the importance of disciples being in community, of talking with one another, of learning together and growing together, whether it's a married couple or pew partners or folks who come to a Bible study or run into each other in the grocery store. We best learn of God and God's desires for us with each other, where more eyes and ears are paying attention to the Holy Spirit, and we can hear where God is asking us to be. And I also appreciate the emphasis on hope, that hope we receive through the risen Jesus, even and especially in those times when we struggle to see and feel hope. The reminder that God's hope in Jesus never lets us go, and that hope consumes our worries and negates our fears. Thank you, Pat and Scott. Our final witness this morning is Julie Foster.
If Jesus is alive, it's more than even just being a Christian. It becomes Jesus is alive in everyone and everything. And it makes me look at other people differently. How do you hate someone who you know has Jesus in them? I understand the core beliefs of you know, you have to believe in Jesus. You know, it's our belief that gains us everything. But I also believe that God is in everyone, and they may not even know it. they don't realize that they are the living image of the living God. And to look at a person, you know, it's the classic thing about to look at a homeless person on the street, to look at a child misbehaving in class and think, you know, not what would Jesus do, but what would I do for Jesus? If I knew that was Jesus laying there asking for money, or if I knew that was Jesus who was throwing a temper tantrum in class because he comes from a terrible background, if that's Jesus, then how do I act? And I think my love of teaching and volunteering, I think it all comes from Jesus being alive and how I grew up knowing that and feeling that. I've worked preschool, I've worked elementary school, now I'm in high school. I tend to collect the quiet kids, the shy kids, the kids who maybe aren't super cool, you know. Those are the ones who tend to sit at my table and they tell me their stories. It's amazing how working on geometry stuff comes out. And seeing the humanity in them at the same time as kind of seeing the holy. It's a holy responsibility to be with children, for me. I'm gonna cry. And there are moments where you really kind of transcend, where you transcend just being in a classroom and something happens or somebody says something and it does kind of feel holy because you're connecting differently. You're connecting as more than just two people or more than just a teacher and a student or an adult and a kid. You just feel that compassion and that love and that need to do the best by them. And if Jesus is in them, if I acknowledge that they are holy, then I want to do the best by them.
Three thought-provoking speakers for us this day. I appreciate Julie's sense of God's resurrection love being so powerful that it is in everyone. And her poignant question, how can any of us look with hate upon someone within whom Jesus dwells? Seeing holiness in every child and every child of God, regardless of age, is an invitation for us to do and love and care for them, care for each other, care for all others as we would for Jesus. What an opportunity we have to boldly live out resurrection love with and for everyone. Thank you, Julie. Thank you to Robert, to Pat and Scott, to Julie, to being God's word for us this day. Thanks to Dave Streit for knitting all these video pieces together into such an amazing presentation. Let us respond to this witness we have been privileged to hear this day by standing and joining together in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born, see, Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the TAB podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Hi, my name is Carter Booker, and I'm a member of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. I came to TAB over 15 years ago looking for a group of people who took seriously the teachings of Jesus, especially the teaching that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. What did I find? I found a community giving their resources to support a local school, to strengthen the health and well-being of a neighborhood, to mentor and guide young people through athletics, and the list could go on and on. If you believe it is important to love your neighbor, then TAB is the place for you. I'm Carter Booker, and I invite you to come and see for yourself.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with TAB, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.